Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here today and good to see you folks again. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I hate coming here. You say, what do you mean by that? It's because when I come here, it's always because someone has been sick. And I don't like when people are sick. I was here last when Brother Coelho was in the hospital with a kidney stone. And so they gave me a call. But so stop getting sick, all right? But I'm glad to be able to be here today and to help fill in for Brother Chad not feeling well the last few days. And it's just good to be here. Take your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 in the Word of God this morning. I do apologize for my wife and children not being here, but they will be here in the afternoon service, Lord willing. And many of you know that we've had two foster children in our home for the last 2 years, since July of 2014. And we just had our adoption day at the end of May. And so we praise the Lord for that. They are legally ours. And I don't know, someone asked me shortly after that happened how it felt, and I say, I don't know, it doesn't really feel any different because they've been with us for so long. But I'm sure it'll sink in one of these days that they're not going anywhere. They're ours. But anyways, we just praise the Lord for what He's done and how He's led them to us. The girl, Haley, is 8 years old, Dominic is 4, and just how they've adjusted so well. And we just praise the Lord for His goodness. But they'll be here in the afternoon service, and so praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 4 in the Word of God, I would invite you, if you found your place, to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I picked Acts chapter 8 for our scripture reading earlier in the service, because what we're going to talk about this morning is really put to practice in Acts chapter 8 with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so I thought that was appropriate. And I want to talk about a salvation, soul-winning type message this morning. Now, let me say I was very glad and enjoyed Brother Chad's Sunday school, and I told him I was going to say this because I just kind of thought it was funny what he was talking about. And because I'm preaching a salvation and soul-winning type message this morning, and that's my emphasis, I'm not a covenant theologian, all right? So all you out there, I wanted to make that clear. He was talking about how covenant theologians, how their whole when they think about God, they view God as His whole purpose is strictly soteriological, or in other words, salvation. And it is a purpose. It is a huge purpose, but it's not the main purpose. The main purpose is the glory of God. And so I appreciated Brother Chad's message or lesson there in Sunday school. I agreed with him wholeheartedly in that matter. But I wanted to say that just because I was talking about salvation soul winning this morning. So, anyways, Matthew chapter 4 in the Word of God. Verse number 17, if you would. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. I'm speaking this morning on this subject, faithfully fishing. Faithfully fishing. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not a fisher. Never have been and never probably will be. I've gone maybe twice in my life, maybe twice, and each time I caught nothing. Okay? And I grew up in the city, and it's something that my family never did, and so I just had no appeal. It doesn't appeal to me in any way to go out fishing. Now, if you're a fisher here this morning, more power to you, all right? You go have a good time, but you're probably not going to get me to go with you, okay? I'm just not a fisher. While I'm not excited about nor involved in physical fishing, I should be excited about and involved in spiritual fishing. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so if I'm not following or faithfully involved in following the Lord in this area, fishing for men, then I'm not where I need to be in the Christian life. In fact, can I say this morning, hear me, this is a very important point. Can I say that if you're not involved, if I'm not involved, I'm preaching to myself, if we're not involved in faithfully fishing for men, we're not following Jesus. I want that to sink in. If you're not involved, if I'm not involved in faithfully fishing for men, we're not following Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Follow me, and if you do that, I will make you a fisher of men." You may be saved, you may come to church, you may read your Bible and pray, but again, if you're not faithfully involved in casting out the net, trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not following Jesus as you should be. A.T. Pearson, who took over Charles Haddon Spurgeon's work there in London after Spurgeon passed away. A.T. Pearson said this, great Bible preacher and teacher. He said, "Witnessing is the whole work of the whole church for the whole age." J. Wilbur Chapman said, "If Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men, who gave us the right to be satisfied with making fishing tackle or pointing the way to the fishing banks instead of going ourselves to cast out the net until it is filled?" You see, soul winning is not just the pastor's job. It's not just the assistant's job. It's just not the deacon's job. It is the job of every single Christian, every single follower, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in this passage, he calls men who were poor and uneducated. All right, they were not the high class, intelligent class of their day. They were fishermen. They were poor. They were uneducated in as far as what the education standards were of that day. And I want to encourage us this morning. If he used these men, if he called these men, and he used these men, then surely there is no excuse for you and me not to win souls. As the Bible says in First Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." You say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't feel very wise this morning." You know what? You're a candidate to be a soul winner. Because the Bible says he doesn't call many wise men, many intellectual men. You say, "Pastor, I'm just timid, and I never know what to say, and I just feel weak." If that's you, guess what? You're a candidate to be a soul winner, because he says he takes the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And so the Lord wants us all to be faithfully fishing for men. The question is not whether you want to or not. The question is, are you going to be obedient? Am I going to be obedient? Again, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The word "preach" there is the word caruso, and it means to herald or to proclaim. In other words, it's not just simply what a pastor does standing behind a pulpit talking to his congregation. It's something that everyone is to be involved in. Heralding the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to those that you come in contact with on a daily basis. I want to ask us all, again, myself included at the outset of this message, are you being obedient to the Lord? How many fish have you caught? Now think about that. Just think about it. How many fish have you caught in recent days? Let's just say in this year. We're past the halfway point of the year already. How many times have you even gone fishing for men? Whether it be talking to someone about their soul, whether it be handing out a gospel tract. I want to challenge again all of us this morning that we need to be faithfully fishing. There are three things I want us to notice from this passage in our time together. Three things I hope will be a challenge and a blessing to our hearts. Number one, I want us to notice what I call the exhortation from the Savior. The exhortation from the Savior. Again, notice in our text, it says that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they're casting a net into the sea. That was their occupation. They were fishers. And notice what he says unto them. Follow me. The exhortation from the Savior. Follow me. Number one, it was personal. It was a personal exhortation. I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that God deals with us personally. You know, he deals with us personally in regards to salvation. Every single person has to come to that point in their life where they realize that yes, I'm a sinner, that I know there's a penalty for sin, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'm trusting him. God deals with us personally. But in the Christian life as well, God deals with us personally. And he wants to have a personal relationship, a personal walk with us. And that's just such a humbling thing to know that that the God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, all-wise one, wants to talk with you and me, wants to walk with you and me, wants to, again, to love on us, if I can say it that way, and wants us to reciprocate that love and to give it back to him. It's personal. And he tells each one of them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he invited each one of them to follow him, and each one had that choice. Every single person here this morning has the choice to do what I'm going to be talking about, to soul win, to go and witness to people, to hand out gospel tracts. You have that choice. He deals with us personally because guess what? Every single one of us is given an account before God one day. And I'm not going to have to answer before Russ, and I'm not going to have to answer before my pastor, I'm not going to have to answer before you folks, I'm not going to have to answer before my spouse. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account before God. And so will you. And you'll give an account of your life and of your service and what you've done for the Lord and how you've done it and what your motives have been, and all those things play a part. But it's a personal thing. And so understand this morning that as I'm preaching this message, as Jesus, as we see him say to his disciples, "Follow me," he says the same thing to my heart. He says the same thing to your heart. Follow me. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing that, again, a young person, you can't just say, well, my parents are Christians and my parents go to church. No, he wants you. He wants you personally. Again, every single person has to make that choice of following the Lord, first in salvation, but then in daily sanctification and surrender and service, which is what we're talking about this morning. Once again, can I say that God calls every believer to follow him in this matter of winning souls. So, number one, it was personal. Secondly, it was pointed. In other words, it was a clear exhortation. He says, follow, not just follow anything, follow me. It was pointed. And can I say this morning that you cannot win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are not walking in daily relationship with him. In other words, you may be here this morning, you may be saved, but you say, well, Pastor, I'm just not an effective soul winner. And again, maybe I'm scared, maybe I'm timid, and you know, all these things, and I just, you know, I try, but I failed, and you know, I'm just not real effective. Well, can I ask you, what's your own personal relationship with the Lord look like? Okay? Because if you're not walking with the Lord personally yourself, depending upon him, spending time in his word, praying, then you're not going to want to go share the gospel with others. Isn't that logical? Doesn't that make sense? And so the exhortation is first and foremost to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with him, fellowshipping with him. And as you do that, he will make you, we'll talk about this in a little bit, he'll make you become a fisher of men. But you see, first and foremost, our focus needs to be on where we need to be in our walk with the Lord. Again, if I'm not fellowshipping with the Lord, if it's a burden for me to come to church, if it's a burden for me to open my Bible and read it, I'm not going to be a soul winner. Okay? That's the last thing that I'm thinking about. And so where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Are you following him? I remember when I was a freshman in Bible college, I remember going there, and I was, you know, as freshmen in Bible college often are, we think we know everything, and, you know, we're ready to preach, we're ready to turn the world upside down, and we're all, you know, there's zeal, which is good, but oftentimes there's not knowledge, okay? And so hopefully by the time you spend 4 years there, you get a little more knowledge. Hopefully it balances out, okay? But and that's how I was like. I was the same way. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do what was right. And I was all excited about getting out and preaching. And that was my focus. Well, I had a roommate, a very interesting guy. But he had a walk with the Lord that was just real precious. And I remember my roommate and I, one day, we were sitting on the bleacher at the ball field there. Game wasn't going on. We were just talking. We were just talking about spiritual things. I remember, I'd heard this before, but I just remember it just sinking in that day. Again, I'm a freshman in Bible college. I'm all excited. I want to serve God. I want to preach. I just remember my roommate said to me, he said, Will, God has not called us first and foremost to a ministry. He has called us first and foremost to himself. Again, I'd probably heard that before, but it just really sank in that day. And it's something I needed to hear, that God hasn't called me first and foremost to go and win souls and just to do things for him. But again, he's called me first and foremost to himself. He wants a personal relationship, a love relationship. Again, that's why in Revelation chapter 2, he commends the church at Ephesus, but he also has some commendation for them, or some conviction for them, because they were busy. They were serving God. They were making sure that false prophets were out of the church, and they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. But what did he say to them? What was his rebuke towards them? I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because you've left your what? Your first love. So they were busy. They were doing things, which is commendable. I think a lot of churches are at that point today, but they've left their first love. Friend, let me tell you this morning, God wants to have a personal walk with you. And if you can't grab a hold of that and understand that and be walking with him, then you're not going to be an effective soul winner. We might as well just close our Bibles and not even talk about soul winning this morning. Because again, we have to understand this, that is first and foremost, our first ministry, our first service is our love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to cultivate that on a daily basis. We need to grow in that on a daily basis. All right? If I don't talk to my wife, there'd be a lot of things that would happen. But that relationship's not going to grow, right? I mean, that's a common illustration we've heard it used before. So how is it that we think that, you know what, I can just kind of open my Bible in the morning and I'll read my chapter and maybe I'll say a little prayer, but I'm not really going to talk to the Lord and you know, much throughout the rest of the day? How is it that we think that we can just kind of skirt by and neglect our relationship with the Lord and yet we're supposed to be effective in his service? It doesn't work that way. And so the first thing that he says is, you have to follow me. Come with me. Spend time with me. Walk with me. Hear me talk to you. Hear me teach you. And then after that, he'll make them a fisher of men. But again, we have to focus on first and foremost our relationship with the Lord. Where is it at? Take your Bible just for a second. Go to Mark chapter 3, just for a second. I want you to notice a verse here. Mark chapter 3, because again, this brings this point out just so clearly. Yes, the Lord wants us to serve. He wants us to be involved in His service, to minister to others, to try to reach others. But He wants us for Himself, first and foremost. Again, it's kind of like what we were talking about. The purpose of God is to bring Him glory. All right? And you know, we bring Him glory by loving Him, by fellowshipping with Him. Why? Because that's why we were created. Mark chapter 3, verse number 14. Look at this. Again, this is a very clear verse. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And He ordained 12. This is talking about when Jesus picked His 12 disciples. He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. Notice the order there? First and foremost, He wanted them to be with Him. And then He was going to send them out to preach. But He wanted that relationship first. He wanted that opportunity to teach them, to increase their faith, to allow them to focus on what they need to focus on. And when we're not walking with the Lord, spending time with Him, forget about soul winning. All right? If you try, it's going to be a futile effort in your flesh. Okay? Because first and foremost, you're not even walking with the Lord. You're not in love in a love relationship with Him. All right? So the first point, the exhortation from the Savior, follow Me. He wanted them to follow Him. He wanted them to talk with Him, to walk with Him, and to just spend time with Him, to cultivate, again, that love relationship. Again, our relationship with Him is to be top priority. Where are you at in your relationship with Him this morning? You say, well, I'm saved. I know that. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But do you love the Lord? I was at a conference just this past week up in Michigan, and one of the messages that the speaker brought was from Revelation chapter 2. And how often do we need to be reminded of where our love is at? And things in my own life that God brought to my attention, that things that aren't wrong, but things that were just taking my attention away from the One who is altogether lovely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in love with the Lord this morning? You see, if you're not in love with the Lord, you're not going to have a burden to reach people with the gospel. All right? We'll talk about that here in a little bit, how it's the heart of the Father. It's God's heart that He wants to see people saved. And so when you're not in love with Him, when you're not in His heart, so to speak, then you're not going to want to see people saved either. So maybe you're there this morning and you're thinking, well, you know, I haven't caught too many fish lately, and I really haven't even been casting out the net. I haven't been handing out tracts. I haven't been trying to talk to my neighbors or invite them to church. That's kind of my testimony. Well, can I ask you, where are you at in your relationship with the Lord and your love for Him? Because when you gaze upon Him and focus upon Him and surrender all to Him, and you're spending time and He's talking with you and you're talking with Him, like the old song says, that you're walking in that garden and you're sharing that joy, guess what? Those feelings, those desires of going out to win souls, they'll start to appear. Because again, it's all about relationship. Where are you at, first and foremost? Are you in love with the things of the Lord, with Him Himself, or with the things of the world? So number one, there's the exhortation from the Savior, follow Me. Secondly, this morning, there's what I call the enablement of strength. The enablement of strength. Again, back to our text, notice what it says in Matthew chapter 4. He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. The enablement of strength. In another place, Christ says in Matthew chapter 16, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice again, the emphasis is on He's the one that's going to be doing it. He's the one that can make us a fisher of men. He's the one that's going to build His church. And so He can make us fishers of men. He'll do it, but He needs surrendered hearts. He will build His church, but He needs available tools. All right? We're the tools. We're the instruments that God can use to accomplish His purposes. But I want you to, again, notice this fact that it is His strength, it is His working through us that is what makes us see success in the areas of church growth and soul winning and things like this. is Christ, again, who enables us with the strength and the wisdom and the power that we need to win souls. Not understanding these truths is the reason many believers are poor soul winners, and many have no desire to even win souls at all. You see, when it comes to witnessing, again, can I say that we often make excuses such as, well, I just don't know what to say, or I'm a pretty timid person, or I've never done this before. Hear me, those excuses, because they're not reasons, they're excuses, all right? Those excuses are not reasons to not win souls, they are reasons why we must all the more depend upon Jesus. And understand that He is the one that says, I'll make you a fisher of men. Again, the emphasis is upon, Jesus doesn't say, if you follow me, you better just roll up your sleeves, and you better just try your hardest, and you better just do what I do. No, He places the emphasis upon Himself. I will make you a fisher of men. It is His wisdom, His strength, His ability through us as we yield to Him. Now again, I'm not talking about passivity, all right? I'm not talking about how we'll just sit in the pew because the pastor said that God's the one that does it all, and so we'll just sit here. No, again, God needs tools. God's the one that works, but He needs tools, right? Just like any builder needs tools. And what are the tools? If we're a surrendered heart, if we have a surrendered heart, if we're surrendered vessels, if we're clean vessels. But understand, this is such an encouragement to my own heart, that God will make me. It's not me trying to muster up in my own strength. You know, I got to go witness to this person. I need to give this, attract to this person. So I'm really going to try. I'm just going to try to memorize, you know, the Bible verses. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. Okay, that's important. We need to be prepared. But my emphasis this morning is on who's the source of our power. Is it us and our flesh and what we're going to do? We're going to turn the world upside down for God? Or are we focusing upon God? I'm weak and I need you. Well, I don't have the love for people. Do you realize that? You don't have the love for people that you need. And I don't either. In my flesh, I don't want to go door to door. I don't want to go talk to my unsaved loved one. I don't have the love for them that I need. All right? That's why Jesus Christ is within us. Again, Jesus is far more than just a ticket to heaven. All right, He is the one that enables us and gives us strength and gives us the ability to live as we should now. And Christ, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, that the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Christ, the Bible calls Him that in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So the Spirit of Christ Himself is within us. That in Romans 5:5, that the Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. So when we come to the end of ourselves, when we say, Lord, I don't have the love I need for these people. Lord, please give me your love. Spirit of God sheds God's love abroad in our hearts. You need wisdom? Say, boy, Pastor, I just don't know how to witness to this person. It's a difficult situation, and I'm just not sure what to say. And well, the Bible says that Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Christ is the wisdom of God. And Christ is where? If you're a believer, where is He? He's inside, right? He's inside of us. And so when you come to the point, again, not trying to muster up your own wisdom and trying to figure it out yourself, when you say, God, I don't have the wisdom that I need. I need You. Christ will be your wisdom. He will guide you in those decisions to how to effectively witness to people when sometimes, again, there are difficult situations and we're just not sure which way to go. You need confidence? Again, maybe you say, boy, I am timid. I've never done this before. I've never talked to anybody. Again, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You need power? Again, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. The Greek word there is dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite from. And the idea is strength or ability. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive strength or ability after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's the power for? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so again, the power is not just to say, wow, look at me. I'm walking with the Lord and I have God's power upon my life. What are you doing with it? Again, it all goes back to that purpose we were talking about, to glorify God. And part of that is to share His message. A large part of it is to share His message with others. But the power, again, the ability, the strength, it's of God. Oh, when this teaching really got ingrained in my mind, in my heart, it was such liberating. Because I said, you know what, I can stop trying. You know, when I was in high school, I wanted to serve God. I always felt God to call me to preach. I wanted to do what was right. But there were areas in my life that I knew just weren't right. They were I keep battling these same things over and over. And I would try, and I tried, and a preacher would come to our church, I'd come down the aisle and make a decision, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to try harder, whether it's witnessing or whether it's overcoming sin, whatever the issue is, I'm going to try harder because that's what I'm supposed to do, you know? That's what the pastor said, and we're supposed to serve God, and so that's what I'm going to do. And I memorize all these Bible verses, and I would try to read my Bible more, try to pray more. Now again, don't misunderstand me, because God uses those things. We need to memorize Scripture, all right? Because it's the Spirit of God that quickens the Word of God in our hearts, because the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, but He can't quicken what's not there, okay? And so we do need to memorize Scripture. We need to pray. Don't anybody tell Pastor Myers that I said, don't worry about praying, don't worry about reading your Bible, all right? I'm not saying that. Understand my point. God uses those things in our life, but the power source is not focused on, well, if I just do this, if I just read my Bible all the time and pray, then again, I'll be okay. And I can go witness to people, and I can overcome sin. No, the power source is the Lord Jesus Christ within us. The Bible says our flesh is weak, and it always will be weak. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul said that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth what? Remember? No good thing. Wait a second. Paul? What are you talking about, Paul? You're a great missionary. You planted all these churches. You've written over half the New Testament. What are you talking about? That in your flesh dwells no good thing. Paul knew that in and of himself that he was weak. And that's why Paul was used in such a mighty way, because he came to the end of himself. And when you come to the end of yourself, that's when God can begin to work in your life. All right? I heard a preacher say one time that God made the world out of nothing. And it's only when we become nothing that he can make something out of us. I like that. It's only when we become nothing that he can make something out of us. You see, again, going back to God's glory, God wants all the glory. And when we are trying to strive in our flesh to please God, to witness, as we're talking about the specific application this morning, and just trying to, yeah, do it because I know we're supposed to, but I don't have any heart to do it, I don't have any desire to do it, that's flesh dependence. That's flesh dependence. That's not recognizing the indwelling Spirit of Christ, who is our wisdom, the Bible says, who is our power. And when we come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I can't, but you can, that's when God can flow through you. That's when you'll begin to have those desires. Man, you want to tell people about the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's just flowing through you. Why? Because it's not you. It's Christ. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh yeah, that's good. That's good for the Apostle Paul, because again, he was a great man of God. No, Paul was weak, and he was wicked, and he understood that. And so he cast himself upon the Lord, and that's why the Lord could use him. And he recognized that it's not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living through me, as I depend upon him, as I yield to him, as I obey his word. He is the power source. He is the one that said, I will make you to become fishers of men. And again, if this morning you go out from here and say, okay, Pastor talked about soul winning, so I got to go win souls, even though I don't have a desire to, and even though I don't really know how to do this, again, the focus is all wrong. The focus needs to be, God, I am weak. I don't know how to do this. But I know your word says you want me to be involved in preaching the gospel, heralding the gospel to every creature. Lord, I need you. Please, would you fill me? That's when God can begin to work in your life. Again, when you come to the end of yourself and say, Lord, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the power, I don't have the ability, but you do, and you're within me. Oh, but again, when God began to open my eyes to see all that I have in Christ, it's liberating. I think sometimes that we, in a lot of our churches, good churches, but I think the emphasis, or how it's taught is this. Well, yeah, Jesus came down, and he was born of a virgin, he died on the cross, he lived a sinless, perfect life, and he rose again the third day, and then he sent him back into heaven, and now he's at the right hand of God the Father, and making intercession for you and me. Now, is that true? Yes, it's true. All that I said is true. But the idea is that, yeah, Christ is up in heaven, and now we're down here, and we're struggling. And he wants us to serve him, so, you know, we've got to serve him. And so we roll up our sleeves, and we try to do our very best, but we fail. Why? Because that's what the flesh produces. The flesh produces failure. That's why, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 8, the Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not talking about unsaved people. He is talking to saved individuals who are still depending upon the power of their flesh. And he says, it's impossible. I heard a preacher just recently say this, only God can meet the standard of God. Only God meets the standard of God. And so in our service towards God, if it's out of the flesh, our own energies, and what we think we can accomplish, God doesn't want that. Now, it may be admirable It may be admirable that you want to do what's right and serve God and witness to people. But again, if you don't understand this, that Christ said, I will make you fisher of men. Look, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. Because he knew that we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. And we don't want to do it in and of ourselves. Again, there's nothing in me. When Saturday morning rolls around, the time that our church has visitation and outreach, when Saturday morning rolls around, there are many times that I lay in bed and I'm thinking in my mind, I don't want to go do this. And don't look at me like you're high and holier than thou, all right? Because you know that's how you are too. I don't want to do this, all right? But as I spend time with the Lord, in his word, in prayer, again, fellowshipping with him, that's key. Because if I don't do that in the morning, if I just try to go out and just knock on doors, you know, I have a Memorial Baptist Church, yeah, take this or whatever, all right? It's not going to be successful. But as I spend time with him, fellowshipping with him, he will make me. It's his power. It's his strength. He will flow through me to be the fisher of men that he wants me to be. Again, I'm staying on this point a little longer because I want to hit this home. Because it really is revolutionary when you think about the fact that it's Christ that's in us. That's where I was going. I lost my train of thought. Now I got it back. All right? So the idea is that, yeah, Christ is up in heaven, and we're down here, and we're trying to please him, we're trying to serve him, all right? And again, he is up there bodily. His physical body is up in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me. But he is with us as well today in the person of his Holy Spirit. Again, Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he calls him the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Remember in John chapter, I believe it's chapter 16, I could be wrong, but it's in that discourse there. When Jesus was talking about the Comforter coming to his disciples, Jesus said, I will come to you. Now, why do you say that? See, in our minds, we think, no, Pastor, you're wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that's within us, and Jesus is up in heaven. Question, can you separate God? There's a question that make you just, your head will hurt. No, you can't separate God. And so Jesus is with us today as well in the person of his Holy Spirit. And he is the one that wants to enable us, to fill us, to be what we ought to be, and to do what we ought to do. And specifically in this instance, we're talking about to win souls, to go out and to hand out tracts and to share the gospel with others. Again, this is, I want us all to grab this. And it's something I have to be reminded of on a daily basis myself. Because if I just preach this morning, you need to go win souls. And you better be witnessing to your neighbor. You better be handing out tracts. Again, you would think, well, Pastor said I should do that, so I better go do it. And if you miss the power source, if you miss the one who's within you to enable you, then you're going to go out and you're going to try and try and try, but it's going to be struggle, it's going to be frustration, because again, you're trying to do it instead of letting God do it through you. That's the key. That's what Paul said. Colossians 1:27, Paul said that it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Now again, for years I thought that verse was just talking about, you know, it's kind of pie in the sky kind of language. Oh, that's nice, you know, and and the hope of glory, yeah. I have Jesus, so I'm going to heaven one day. Not recognizing that, again, he's with me, wanting to live through me, wanting to be my all in all, to be my wisdom, to be my power, to be my strength, to be my desire, my love for other people. Again, I don't love other people like I should. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. What's the will? Not just me, okay? Both to will. That's desire, right? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God's the one that will give you the right desires, and he's the one that will accomplish it through you. Again, I'm not talking about just saying, well, again, Pastor said God does everything, so we don't have to go out and try to win souls. No, we're available tools, all right? He works through people. But it's God the one. It's God that does the work. It's God who will build a church. It's God who saves a soul. I had a teen just recently just asked me, one of our teenagers, and good kid, and he's made a profession of faith. He's saved, but he just doesn't have a lot of church background. His family doesn't come to church. He has no support at home, and so he asked me, and it took me a minute to wrap my head around what he was saying. But he said he was talking about my wife. He said, "Well, how many souls has Elena saved?" What are you talking about? You know, like how many people have you saved? How many souls have Elena saved? And I said, do you mean like we've led to the Lord? And yeah. And so it was just kind of funny the way he said that. And I said, I don't do the saving. Praise the Lord for that, all right? Because I can't save anybody. You don't do the saving. God is the one who works. He's the one that will build the church. He's the one that will give the increase. Remember, there in Corinthians, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. So the focus is on God. It's His power. It's His ability, because I'm weak and I'm wicked, and that's all I'm ever going to be. You see, even after you're saved, yes, that's what the flesh is. Jesus didn't come and die to improve the flesh so that now we could, in our own power, try to live for God. All right? His death provides a way for a total opposite way of living, and that is Him in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God's the one. It's so glorious. It's just God's the one that does it all. He saves, He keeps, He preserves, He enables. And yes, we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is what? Trust and obey, faith and obedience. And so as we grow in our faith, as we trust God, as we depend upon Him, as we obey His Word, God can continue to work in our life. And that growth process will be accelerated. But the moment we say, well, I'm supposed to win souls, so I'll do that, and so I'll just try to really, you know, depend upon my own wisdom and things like that, we stop the outflow of His life through us. Because now, again, we haven't come to the end of ourselves. We're still depending upon ourselves. And the Lord says, again, I'll make you a fisher of men. I will enable you. I will give you strength. Jesus is the best soul winner there was and is, and He wants to keep on winning souls through you and me. Again, I'm not negating human responsibility. I'm stressing the fact that it is Christ in us that makes the difference. We have the choice whether or not we're going to be obedient. We have the responsibility of being a clean vessel, but it's His power, His wisdom, His enablement in and through us that brings true success in the matter of fishing for men. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Would you do that? Matthew chapter 28, a familiar passage here. Of course, the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, power there is not the word dunamis. It is the Greek word exousia, which means, excuse me, authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now it's interesting there again. In this idea of Christ making us fishers of men, He gives us His delegated authority. He says, all power, all authority the Father has given to me, and now I'm giving to you. Go. Teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's just a tremendous thought. You know, that's why no government is going to tell me that I can't preach the gospel. And they shouldn't tell you that either. All right? Because I have an authority from the Lord. It's delegated authority that He's given to me. All right? And so not only does He give us the authority, but as we talked about, He gives us the ability. Because the other word power is the word dunamis, ability, strength. And it'll come upon you when you have the Holy Spirit of Christ within you. And you can be the witness that you should be and that I should be. Aren't you so thankful for the last phrase, though? He says, and lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always. In other words, He didn't say, all right, disciples, and for those of you and I who know Christ as our Savior, thanks for trusting me. Now again, go and do it. Make disciples. Teach nations. And I'll be up here, and I'll be cheering you on. No, He said, I'll be with you. And the implication, again, we have His authority and we have His power, His ability to work through us. Again, turn over real quick to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. So I want you to notice this phrase here. It's so important. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. The end of the chapter, Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth, talking about the disciples, after Jesus ascended back to heaven and preached everywhere. What's the phrase? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I just love that phrase. Again, Jesus ascends back to heaven. Go. He gives his disciples the Great Commission. Go and do this. It says, so they go, and they preach everywhere, but it says it was the Lord that was working with them. Cooperation with the Lord. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Cooperation with the Spirit of God that's in our life. As we yield to Him, yes, as we read His Word, as we obey, as we make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives, the Lord can work in us and through us, and we can be the vessels that He wants us to be. Remember what the songwriter said? Channels only, blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power, not my wondrous power, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. That's how it works. It's not a flesh dependent, well, we got to go win the world to Jesus Christ. Man, that'd be horrible if Christ wasn't with us. All right? We're already doing a bad enough job being that He is with us. All right? Because we're not recognizing the fact that He is here. He will enable us. He will give the victory. He gives the increase. It's our responsibility, yes, to sow the seed, to plant it, to talk to people. But He's the one that saves. He's the one that draws the person to the point of conviction and the convincement of the righteousness of Christ. It is His strength. It's His ability. Number one, this morning, we see the exhortation from the Savior. Secondly, the enablement of strength. And lastly, this morning, back to our text in Matthew 4, we see the enrollment into service. The enrollment into service. Jesus comes. He says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. We see the enrollment into service. And He comes, follow me. Now remember, try to put yourself in this story, all right? I think it's good to try to imagine ourselves being right there in some of these Bible stories. These guys were fishers, and that's all they knew, all right? It wasn't the most wealthy job, but that's what they knew. That's what they did. And now this guy, Jesus, who they don't know that much about, walks by them and says, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. I don't know if they really even understood fisher of men. What's he talking about, you know? They probably didn't even understand what he was talking about at that point. But they leave their nets. They leave the ship, and they simply follow Him. And we see all throughout the Gospels, sometimes they didn't get it. They were flesh dependent. That's why Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you to death. I'll die for you. I don't know about these others, but I'll die for you. I believe Peter was sincere. I believe he was absolutely sincere, but he was flesh dependent. And that's why he failed. All right? And so we see all throughout the Gospels, these disciples, they're in the school of hard knocks, they're learning the hard way. But then we see the book of Acts starting, Acts chapter 2, the day at Pentecost, 3,000 people saved, Peter standing up, the same person who denied the Lord, Peter standing up, giving that message. And we see in the book of Acts how these men, He did make them a fisher of men. Christ really made them fishers of men. They really got it now. They understood. But they follow Him. They enroll into His service. Again, we see these men, they make the choice of leaving their vocation, their family, and their comfort zone. Again, that's all they knew. So they leave their comfort zone, and they follow Jesus. They enroll into His service. Can I ask this morning, have you enrolled into the service of fishing for men? Again, you may be saved, I'm not asking that. Have you enrolled into the service of faithfully fishing for men? You may have to leave your comfort zone like these men. In fact, can I say that if you've never been involved in faithfully fishing, if you've never done it before, you will have to leave your comfort zone. All right, but again, that's all part of coming to the end of yourself and casting your dependence upon Jesus, saying, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm wicked. Please fill me, enable me. And He'll do it. But you have to make the choice. Again, God doesn't force us. I talked before about it was a personal exhortation for them to follow Him. It's a personal relationship, and God never forces us to do anything. He doesn't force people to be saved, and He doesn't force people to serve Him. It's a choice. Have we made that choice, saying, Lord, I'm all Yours. You saved me. Thank You for giving me a home in heaven. But Lord, in this life, I'm not my own. I realize I've been bought by Your blood. I'm all Yours. I give myself to You. And specifically, again, the application this morning, I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to fish for men. Now again, I'm not asking you this morning how many fish have you caught. I don't want you to focus on this because the truth is, most people in our churches, the majority have never led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a problem. But again, I don't want you to focus on that. I don't want you to, if that's your case this morning, I don't want you to go away from this place discouraged, all right? I want you to focus upon the fact that, yes, that doesn't look good, but Christ is in you, and he can enable you to be what you ought to be and do what you ought to do. Secondly, though, not only have you caught any fish for the Lord, won anyone to the Lord, but are we even trying? You see, it's not our job, again, to save souls. It is our job to be faithful to the Lord and to plant and to water and to witness and to say, again, God, I give myself to you. I'm enrolling in your service. And Lord, I don't know that much, but you know what? I can tell someone how I got saved. Isn't that what witnessing is? Haven't we heard it said before that witnessing is just like one beggar telling another beggar where to go get bread, right? Man, my life was in shackles. It was in bondage, and there was no hope. There was no joy. There was no peace. But man, I met someone called Jesus Christ, and man, he changed my life. That's all witnessing is. You can share your own testimony. Are we even trying to cast in the net? Have we enrolled into service? There are many reasons why we should enroll into this service. Let me give you just three as we close this morning, real quickly. You should enroll into the service of fishing for men because, number one, the heart of our Lord. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Brother Chad did a wonderful job in Sunday school talking about covenant theology versus dispensationalism. And there is a group of people, a school of thought that's out there that it is not Bible, all right? It is not biblical that, well, God's just going to save who he's going to save, and you know, that's that because he's sovereign, that's how he's going to do it. Well, that leads you, again, that means you can make the excuse of, well, I don't have to go soul winning because, again, you know, Jesus just, he's going to do it, you know, boom, you're saved, and you're saved, and, oh, sorry about you, you know, but you're saved. That's not in the Bible, all right? Dr. Comfort, who is the president of the school that I went to, Ron Comfort, evangelist Ron Comfort, used to always say this. He said, no one ever became a Calvinist by reading the Bible. And I agree. They always read other people. They always read other books, other men who seem so intellectual, but it's not the Bible. All right, so stick with the Bible. Stick with the heart of the Father. And the heart of my God says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, that God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Again, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The heart of the Father. Again, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11, God told Ezekiel about the nation of Israel. He said, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's the heart of my God. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And if we're in tune with his heart, then we won't either. In other words, we'll be enrolling into the service of fishing for men. We'll be soul conscious. As one preacher said, we'll be on soul patrol. Go out this week and be on soul patrol. All right? And look for those opportunities and seize those opportunities to be a witness and to be a help. And so the heart of the Father. Secondly, you need to enroll into the service because of the harvest of the lost. There are close to 8 billion people in the world today. The majority have never one time heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great. And no, you can't reach everyone, but you can reach someone. And all of us can be reaching more than we now do, this preacher included. You need to enroll into the service of fishing for men because of the heart of the Father. The heart of our Lord, because of the harvest of the lost, and lastly, because the hour is late. The hour is late. We don't know how much longer we have. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We just don't know how much longer God is going to give us to win the lost, to reach them with the gospel. Have you enrolled into this service? Do you recognize the heart of the Lord, the harvest of the lost, that the hour is late? Are you allowing the Lord to make you a fisher of men? Church, it's our responsibility. The souls of men hang in the balance, and God has chosen us to relay his message of salvation. Again, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we, Christians, are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." What's the opposite of that? If you don't win souls, you're unwise. You're unwise. John R. Rice said it like this: "So little time the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile, and that he'll say, 'Well done, today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn. The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus, but the grain is fallen, lost ones not reborn. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in." If you're not faithfully fishing for men, again, I'm not asking you, I'm not saying you have to have, "I saw 10 people saved last week," or "I saw 20 people saved this year." I'm not talking about that. But if you're not faithfully even fishing, you're not following Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these dear folks. Lord, thank you for First Baptist Church here in Pecatonica. I pray, Lord, that you would work in hearts this morning. Well, I ask that if there's someone here that's never been saved, I didn't hit on this, but if there's someone here, God, that you would convict them and that you would draw them unto yourself and save them even today. Well, I pray for Christians, Lord, and I ask that you would work in our hearts and, Lord, help us, myself included, help us, Lord, to be faithfully fishing, to be reaching out, to be seizing the opportunities, Lord, to win souls to you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and thank you.